from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Johns needs it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Mabo, and he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
It's Optional. Hour number two is rolling along here.
That'd be a good thing for you.
Congratulations to Chance. He called it. I was the dumbass.
You're wrong.
Texas A&M.
You don't necessarily have to be a dumbass. You were just wrong.
Texas A&M hit a roper to left field with a runner on second. They win the game.
Ball game.
Blouses. Florida out.
Set match.
Florida is out.
They gone.
There's our man Peter Burns right now on the SEC Network. They had a three-run homer in the eighth. That surprised me. Chris Lee's
same guy that hit the game-winning hit. I was trying to tell you.
Yeah, you made that apparent. Chris Lee's going to join us here in just a minute. We're going to talk SEC baseball. I've got this poll out right now that I'm already losing on. Actually, you know what? Nope, I have retaken the lead. Thank you very much. 54% say they correlate the song Shout.
You've retaken
Animal
the lead
House. Yes, Animal House over Wedding Crashers. So, just want to let you know that. You can soak it all in. They just released.
Like, that must be. It must be really close right now, though.
Okay, let's go to T-Carp on the line while Chance gets Chris Lee on the phone. T-Carp, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how are you doing? Are you excited about the next couple weeks?
Yeah, man, look forward to the move. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great things ahead, and a lot of big things ahead for Chance, Brandon, and Rick as well. So I'm excited, bud.
Good stuff. Now, I will warn you, I let it fly on the drive. I usually don't talk about sports, so you better have your crazy brain on with me, if that makes sense.
What in God's name are we going to talk about?
Oh, buddy, I'm not going to give it to you just yet.
I see your Instagram post, guns and stuff, so I know what we're going to be dealing with.
Buddy,
yeah.
I wanted to quickly just talk about Tennessee football for a second before you get this guy on. I'm a little worried with us when it comes to recruiting. You start losing those folks for 2020, we're at, 26 or 29? That's not very good. At all.
It's not.
That really makes me worried, Trey. And to be honest with you, we can't even get some kids offered out here in Greenback. And you know, you got the Maryville kid that, you know, he wants to go to Florida State. You've got to start getting these in-state players, and you've got to start winning some games. What do we need to happen?
I think they're waiting on some in-state guys. Once an in-state guy starts, you know, commits, everything will start rolling. But – yeah, I mean, they lost Donald Bells last night, lost Donald Rogers yesterday. But you just because here's the thing I always preach. Just because you bring in a high-quality recruiting staff and just because you got some badass coaches on your staff doesn't always mean they can just go out there and sell 5-7 and 15 wins over the last 2 years. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take wins. They got to win eight games next year.
And they'll get
a couple diamonds.
Well, I understand that. I'm just going to be straight with you. I know greasing palms happens. I think, unfortunately, everybody's greasing palms too. So I don't know if that's going to just do what it used to do, and you didn't hear me say that. I'll see y'all.
What the hell does he mean by grease and palms?
You never heard that reference?
Yeah, I mean,
I'll explain
I
to you
it.
Later.
No, I
if
get
you
it.
Don't get it.
No. I get it, but I'm trying to correlate. Okay, whatever. I know what it means. No, whatever. I'm excited for T-Carp's gun talk. That'd be fun. I look forward to that on the drive. Should be a good time. The next game up is going to be Ole Miss versus Missouri down in Hoover. So that'd be a good time. Not really. Who's ever down there covering? Chris Lee's about to join us here. We're going to be talking SEC baseball tournament. Looking forward to having him. One of my best friends. Covers Vanderbilt. Does some stuff with Baseball America as well, covering all college basketball. So this is going to be a good conversation and something that I've wanted to have. I would also like to say I'm at 57% now on your 43% wedding crashers. So let's go straight to the phone lines now.
It's the silliest take ever.
No, it's not.
Nobody associates.
Okay,
that
bring
song.
On Chris Lee.
He's older than probably
most of
your guests. I don't
care. Chris Lee's probably seen wedding crashers as well. Chris Lee, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon, and yes, I have seen wedding crashers.
Okay, and if you've also seen Animal House too, right?
Animal House 2?
No, Animal House. Just
as well.
Yeah.
As well.
Yes, I have seen Animal House. It's been a while,
okay.
But I've seen it.
Okay, then which movie do you correlate the song Shout with? Animal House or Wedding Crashers?
Animal House.
Thank you. Kiss my grits, Chance.
It's just weird.
No, it's not weird. It's probably an age difference, just to being honest with you. So, plays out. Chris, a crazy – we got it on the background here. We turned it on right after you sent me a text. And, you know, we turn it on here. Florida ties it up, going wild down there at Hoover. Then all of a sudden, Texas A&M just drills a shot to left field, and they take the lead and win the ball game. The craziness of Hoover, right? This is the SEC tournament.
It is. It is everything you'd want in a tournament. It is great teams. It is pro prospects. It is storyline just about everywhere you look, and it is just super entertaining baseball year in and year out. And I'm glad you got a chance to watch that game, and I hope you get to tune in on some more, because you're coming to know, I know, that if you don't watch that tournament, you're missing out if you're a baseball fan.
No, and I've always told people, like, I was at South Alabama, you know, during the good years where we had teams and where University of South Alabama was making a couple NCAA tournament regionals and stuff along those lines. And then I had the privilege of moving to Nashville and getting to know you, and got to go watch, you know, you would fill me in a lot on Vanderbilt baseball as well and college baseball as a whole. And it's become a lot more entertaining. I'll start off with this question before we get to the SEC tournament. Do you think college baseball will start getting into markets in a sense of ESPN maybe showing them more, or even SEC Network in the sense that they do with college softball? It seems like college softball gets a lot more pub than college baseball does, and I have a hard time trying to figure that one out.
Well, I think it's maybe one thing that comes to mind. It's a quicker game, softball.
True.
Is, and our attention spans are shorter, and I think that's where baseball can help itself. And college baseball's done a better job in some ways than Major League Baseball in terms of speeding up the game. And baseball's also done itself one other favor, Trey. I mean, in the 90s and early 2000s, it was gorilla ball, and the bats were juiced, and all kinds of things, and it just didn't play normally. The way that they have made changes with the bats and the balls, the game plays a lot more like the Major League game in terms of how hard the ball is hit off the bat if a pitch is thrown a certain speed. I think the specs are almost exactly what wooden bats are. I think those things are going to help. And I think the other thing, and this is where I'm a Major League Baseball fan, but they just aggravate me. They need to move the draft at a better time. Do it in Omaha, but before the tournament starts. But when you're having guys picked in the draft, when they're literally playing ball and stuff like that, I think that you have some trickle-down interest for Major League Baseball that's there for the taking. But MLB's got to do a better job of helping him out. I think it would be so cool if MLB would have its draft in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park. They come in, they usually start playing Friday or Saturday. Do it on a Wednesday or something like that when nothing's going on. I think it would be a cool event. I think it would help grow the game on every level. I think it's no-brainer. I don't know why they have not done that by now.
it always flabbergasted me, kind of threw me off that they would have these baseball drafts right there in the middle of everything where the focus is off of what's going on. Is that something just okay? Is that because the Major League Baseball has done it for so many years, they're just going to continue doing it? Or is there a way that they could change that up and get rid of this darn thing during play? Like, there's more things to focus on, right? I mean,
yeah, it's stupid, Trey. I think it's like if you could imagine they're playing the college football semifinals or the conference championships, and if you could imagine Alabama and Georgia going in the SEC title game and players being picked during that game, that's about what it is in baseball. I remember Dansby Swanson, when he went number one overall at Vanderbilt, he got picked just a few minutes after their game was over where they beat Illinois to advance to Omaha. I mean, I've literally been at games where I've been watching players on the field as they were getting picked. And it's crazy and it's stupid. It's a distraction. And I don't know why it is what it is. I know baseball has never been a very forward-thinking organization. I really like Commissioner Rob Manfred. I think he's done a fairly good job, but they've got a ways to go until they change that.
Chris Lee, you told me when I moved here that I needed to really pay attention to this program because there is a possibility that they could make a big stride this year. Tennessee baseball, and you weren't lying, man. Tennessee baseball is gone leaps and bounds, and they've made a lot of progress in the last 2 years. And you text me these stats all the time, but for our listeners out there, would love just an outside Knoxville take of what you think Tony Vitello has done and what are the strengths of his program.
Well, I think he's a really good recruiter, first of all. He came from Arkansas under Dave Van Horn. Arkansas is probably one of the most five consistent programs in college baseball. Van Horn is a really even-keeled guy that I've met him a little bit before, really liked the guy. I think he has learned under one of the best. I think that Dave Serrano probably did him some favors, too. You know, it didn't work out really well for Dave at Tennessee, but I really like the guy. I respect him. And he left Tony a pretty good crop of arms. And you saw Tennessee early in the season with that pitching staff. I think they led the country in ERA the first couple of months. Now, that's kind of fallen apart on them a little bit since, but they've had the hitting pick up. You know, I think what caught my eye about them, Trey, is I watched them last year. And I watched the way they competed. I've seen some Tennessee teams that in the past have thrown in the towel. They weren't the most talented bunch last year, but I thought that they played hard. That's a reflection on your coaching. I think that with the arms and those arms getting older and more developed, they were kind of due to take a leap, and I think they did that this year. And I think regardless of what happens in Hoover, that's a team that deserves to be in the NCAA tournament.
You got to see them earlier in the year when they played Vanderbilt, and I remember getting a text from you to it, and also a friend of ours saying, you know, this kid just hit 102. On the stadium gun, but you got to see this Tennessee squad and what they were able to build upon early on in SEC play. Where they stand at this year, what are the biggest weaknesses, and what are the biggest, in your opinion, strong outputs that Tennessee has with the squad? Is it pitching? Because I don't think that Tony Vitello thought that they were going to get a lot out of the hitting game this year.
Well, it's kind of been the hitting that's carried them lately when I've watched them. Solari had a great year for them. He was deservedly a first-team All-SEC player. Andre Lipsius had a really good year for them. It seems like that their bats really picked up down the stretch as their arms kind of faltered a bit. Their ERA at the end of the year was 357, but I bet the last month it was a good bit higher than that. The thing that I'm kind of watching, Trey, is how they do without Garrett Crochet, who's moved back and forth from the bullpen to the rotation and was in there. And I know he took a line drive off the chin last week. I think broke his jaw and is, I think, done for the year. But that's a big blow for them. They've got to adjust without him. They've got to get Zach Lingenfelter, who's a really talented kid, throwing better than he's thrown. Garrett Stallings is their best arm, always going to be a key for them. And their closer, Walsh, was really good this year. But I think it's going to be up to their bullpen. You know, the Chase Wallaces, Camden Sewell, the guys like that. I know Wallace didn't throw a ton. Sean Hundley, I think those guys are really going to have to step it up because the arm started to drop off, and losing Crochet really hurt them. You know, fortunately, the bats picked it up, but they're a team that's got to find some answers. They ended the season strong by beating Ole Miss 2-3, But that's an absence that's going to be felt. And I think Hoover's a place where they can work on finding some answers. And I think the good thing for Tennessee is that's a pitching-friendly park. And that provides a little bit more margin for error than a lot of your SEC stadiums would.
Looking at the SEC as a whole this year, how are you surprised at how good the conference was?
No, I never am. I think that the conference, if it's possible, is a little bit underrated still. I look back to last year, and Kentucky was kind of the controversial snub for the NCAA tournament, and I look at how well Kentucky played out of the league, and I say this over and over, no matter how good a league you are or how bad a league you are, the sum of all wins and losses equals 500. And I think that Kentucky was kind of a victim of a poor conference record last year, but I don't think that was a sign of Kentucky. I think that was a sign of how good the league is. And here's my point. I think that this league can sometimes make okay teams look terrible and good teams just look okay. And I think that, and I guess Florida's going to be our test case for this year and seeing how the NCAA tournament committee treats them. And I don't think Florida this year is as good as Kentucky was last year. But here's my point. It makes teams that have some issues look worse than they are. And sometimes you get into postseason play as an SEC team, and it's easier to beat people that are good teams outside your conference than it is to win in Hoover and within your league. I think every year this conference answers the bell, whether it is in winning regionals and getting to super regionals or getting to Omaha and doing well. And people love to hate on the SEC, man, but every year that's a league that I think is consistently, as any other in the country, does well in the postseason, and I would not be surprised to see it again this year. In fact, I would expect it.
Besides the team that you get to cover on a weekly basis in Nashville, which is Vanderbilt, and I would say Tim Corbin is one of the best coaches, I don't care which sport it is, in the SEC, in the NCAA, just a stand-up guy he is in the way that he presents himself. But outside of the Vanderbilt squad that you cover and other teams as well, who stands out to you in Hoover that could potentially make a run here?
I am waiting to see if Mississippi State and Vanderbilt play in that, what is it, the Friday game?
Yeah, it'll be the Friday winners.
State's going to have to get by probably LSU. Could be South Carolina, but I'd be surprised. And Vanderbilt will have to get past the winner of Tennessee and Auburn, which is certainly no given. But I think if those two teams make it to that point, I think those teams are the favorite. The winner of that game is probably the favorite. I'd be interested to see if State will throw Ethan Small in that game. They didn't play this year. And again, I'm not presuming both of them make it to that spot because nothing's a given. But if that does happen, I think those are your best two most balanced teams in the league. And once you get in tournament play, you stay in the winner's bracket. Once you get in the loser's bracket, you're at a decided disadvantage. I think those are the best two teams. And I think if that game happens, I think the winner of that is probably who wins the whole thing.
It wouldn't surprise me. What's going on with that Vanderbilt squad, man? Me and you text a lot about this, and a lot of people, I know it's been a couple years, but a lot of people, and they don't mean to, but they kind of just don't know the whole story. What do you say about these seniors at Vanderbilt and everything that they've gone through over the last 4 years? Because to me, that's one of the most resilient bunch of guys that I've seen in a long time, no matter what the sport is.
Yeah, you're right. And if your audience doesn't know what you're talking about, before their regional, this would have been 2016, they lost Donnie Everett, who drowned in a sudden accident literally the night before they were opening postseason play. That's a really close-knit bunch. Donnie Everett, had he lived, would have probably been a top-five pick in last year's draft. And I think I think the specter that hung over them for the next 3 years, and this group of seniors, that was the class that came in with Donnie Everett as freshman. And you had some guys on those teams that were literally there with him when he drowned. I won't get into specifics there, but I think he had some hangover with guilt and things like that, and what could we have done? And I think that extended to the coaching staff. I don't think that they ever quite got over that the last few years. I think that you sensed, or at least I did, in the last year they had finally started to put that behind them. I think that when you had their seniors like Ethan Paul and Stephen Scott and Julian Infante and Patrick Raby, who was from Knoxville, by the way, come back for that senior year. Those are kids whose track, or really whose careers, I think to some instances got derailed a little bit, and especially Infante. I don't know how much had to do with that or not, but you always wondered. The point being, I think that they have finally kind of cleared their heads of that tragedy, and they started playing really good ball towards the end of last year. It has carried over towards this year. It is not often that you see seniors in the SEC, the caliber of those kids, come back, but they did, and I think without them, Vanderbilt does not win the SEC championship.
It's a story that's been written by many great writers in Nashville, you included, and I urge people to go back because it's a story of perseverance and these guys having to move on as well and try to move on after losing one of their best friends. So I know it's been tough on Tim Corbin. I know it's been tough on that on those players, and it's good to see them flourish. I know a lot of people, they don't want to like each other in the SEC, and I completely understand that, but this story right here, it deserves the respect of a bunch of those Vandy players. So, Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot here, my brother. Then I'm going to ask you one more question. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'll start with this one first. If Tennessee somehow makes it to, let's say, Friday, and that would mean winning today, that would mean somehow pulling an upset on Vanderbilt, can they host an NCAA regional?
I don't think they will. I think their fate is sealed either way, Trey. I think they're going to be a two-seed in a regional. I think if they win the thing, the problem is they were 14-16 in the regular season. Now, on this side, their RPI is great. And they had some good out-of-conference wins. They swept Indiana, which was a great series win for them. Indiana's probably a two-seed. They took 2 or 3 against Fresno State, which is a team that's maybe going to be a 4, possibly a 3, depending on what they do in postseason play in their conference tournament. They're a borderline team to get in, but a really good team. But the problem is, and I don't always agree with this, the committee looks so heavily at record within your league, especially within regular season. I don't think the optics of finishing below 500 will probably let them do that, but I think their RPI and everything else are so good that I don't see them falling out of the 2-seed slot. I don't know. I mean, I think this is probably more for them an opportunity to gain confidence and find some answers for losing Garrett Crochet. But it would be a pretty fascinating case, just for argument's sake. Let's say that they do win the thing and have an RPI of, you know, 6 or 7 or 8, which is probably where it would be. You saw last year, I think the NCAA left out a team that was 7 in the RPI. I think they hosted. I'm trying to think who it is, and I'm going blank. But I think the conference record in the regular season is probably what does them in, whether that's the right decision or the wrong decision if they were to go that far. But again, I think it does make Tennessee a more confident bunch going to postseason if they can make a run.
Makes a lot of sense, Chris Lee. You're doing a damn good job, buddy. How's have you said hey to Jerry Stackhouse for us yet?
What, say it again.
Have you said hey to Jerry Stackhouse for us yet?
You know, Jerry has been on the road recruiting, so I have not met him face to face other than the initial press conference. But that's going to be interesting.
It seems like he's making some interesting hires.
Yeah, I don't know about the experience. That last staff was pretty green on experience, and this one's going to be even more green. But you got to go with the guys you're comfortable with, and that is obviously the bunch that he feels comfortable with.
Hey, last question on the way out because it just popped in my mind. There's Tennessee coaching staff dealing with a bunch of things when it comes to recruiting and them trying to find their base and where things go. We've seen what Vanderbilt's done. Derek Mason, 3 straight wins over Tennessee. But let me ask you a question. If he only wins 5 games this year, let's say, and they've got an interesting home schedule when it comes to Georgia, LSU, UNLV, Missouri, you know, what's underachieving that he could potentially lose his job next year?
That's a good question. He just got an extension. I don't think
you think he's safe.
I think would be underachieving. Yeah. I don't think it costs him his job, but it certainly, I think, gets him towards the forefront of the hot seat for next year.
Right.
Given that that would be 6 years without a winning record, and I think the 2020 team will not be as good as the 2019 team should be. I think it's one of those things. I think if he doesn't have a winning record, I don't think it costs him his job right away. but it makes me hard. It makes it hard for me to see a long term path for him if that's what happens.
We'll see how it plays out. I know Jeremy Pruitt's got a lot of work to do up here in Knoxville, so it'll all come to fruition, and then we'll have SEC Media Day soon, my brother. Chris Lee, where can people follow you, especially for SEC baseball coverage for this NCAA tournament that's going to be going on? You put out a lot of great stuff, man. Where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisLee70. I haven't tweeted a lot lately. I'll probably pick that up.
Yeah, I'll get on that ass later for that.
Yeah, you're always on that case. But write some stuff at VandySports.com. You know, usually Vanderbilt-related. Some stuff with SEC baseball. I picked some all SEC teams yesterday, which was kind of a fun exercise. So that's where you can find me.
Do a great job, brother. Thank you for coming on, man. Hope you have a good rest of the day.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Thanks, bud. Chris Lee, Rivals Network, does some stuff with Baseball America. Great interview on college baseball. Good stuff. The Vanderbilt story, Chance, you kind of know what I'm talking about with Donnie Everett.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage people to go read about what Vanderbilt baseball and those players have gone through over the last four years.
That's some sad stuff.
Because that was tough. And they did feel responsible in a way for what happened to Donnie. And for them to battle through and move on the way they've been doing, it's really a neat story the way it's come first circle. So we'll catch a break, we'll come back, we'll talk about some
it's bigger than the sports sometimes.
It is. An SEC coach just got a contract extension. Talk about that on the other side. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville.
Please note the following programming change. Beginning May 28th, Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure will no longer broadcast on Fox Sports Knoxville's airwaves from 10 to 1. They will now air from noon to 3, which is great for me. I mean, personally, I can't wait to see what Cody's like with two more hours of sleep. And John will have longer to prep, and we'll get to eat lunch before the show instead of trying to sneakily eat it during headlines. May 28th, Knoxville's lunch hour is getting bigger. Talk Sports moves to noon on Fan Run Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard. Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right. You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
We just want to party. Party just pure. I was on the air.
Yeah. I like you singing, though.
Always got a hot mic.
Not bad. You always got to know it's always hot.
Yeah, always got a hot mic. It's Ric Flair. Ric Flair had successful surgery.
Is he doing good now?
Yeah.
Ric Flair's not going to die on us. Not anytime soon. At least not this week.
Breaking news out of the SEC.
Breaking news.
Mississippi State's head coach, Joe Moorhead, has signed a new four-year contract extension through 2022. His average salary will be $3.2 million per. The former Penn State OC is 46-18 in 5 seasons as a head coach. Well, that's kind of skewed a little bit. He was 8-5 Mississippi State.
8-5 was
three
first-round picks.
Is that what it was?
It was at least two. I think it was three.
Okay. I was trying to figure out which one it was. Huh.
What do you think about that, Joe Moorhead?
I'm looking through his contract right now, and I just think it's a little quick and a little bit off. I don't know. I mean, there's legislature out there, and I'm reading up on it a little bit, that supposedly they have to have some kind of four-year contract with the university. I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting. Are you over there counting money?
No. Just getting out my notepad.
The hell you are. I thought you were over there counting money.
No like, counting money right now. There. Sometimes I like to count money, though.
Here's something else. An anonymous SEC coach on Derek Mason. Derek Mason does a good job, but he needs to hire a guy to tell him what to say and when to say it. He has a knack for saying things to motivate other teams. Why does that comment feel weird to me?
He has a knack to motivate other teams?
He has a knack for saying things to motivate other teams.
Oh, he puts foot in mouth a lot.
Right.
I can see that. He can be a little cocky. Especially cocky with Tennessee right now.
He needs to hire a guy to tell him what to say and when to say it. So Larry Leathers is not doing that job?
I don't think that's the biggest. I don't think he talks that much, in my opinion, but.
I don't know. That's a weird quote. Okay. I mean, I'll play along with it, but that's just a weird quote. What's this? Have you seen something about Zion Williamson, Anthony Davis, John Wall autograph story?
No. They selling autographs?
In
trouble?
No. Williamson has never met Davis or Wall per sources close to him. Neither snubbed him. So pretty much I guess the story is that Anthony Davis and John Wall snubbed Zion Williamson for an autograph. But Williamson was providing analogy using athletes he looked up to in high school on why he signs for kids. Some folks are desperate for stories right now.
So Zion got snubbed?
I guess, yeah.
Anthony Davis didn't want to sign something for him? It's kind of stupid.
Former Alabama guard Colin Sexton has been named the second team of the NBA All-Rookie Team.
Yeah, All-Rookie Team has been announced. Got Luka Doncic
Sexton,
and also Trae Young.
Can he do big things at
for Cleveland?
Yeah. Can he be somebody?
They're going to – I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of talent. He's very athletic. He's a nice floor general. They got to get other players. I mean, he won't be doing anything there for the next 3 years, more like a 5-6 year plan. Once they get some people actually around him, I mean, he's not going to be able to do it himself.
I would agree with that. I want to see what they do with him because he's got the talent. He's got the talent to build upon.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. The Gators and the Seminoles have announced that the series will continue through at least 2022 after the team announced a 4-year extension on Tuesday.
It should.
They didn't have a contract. They didn't have a contract as of last month for this year's game.
Yeah, that's troubling. I mean, that's something that I think both sides would feel like, you know, you'd feel pretty empty if they ever took that away.
Why not sign a damn 10-year contract? They act like that game's going away.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. Why not sign the lifetime contract? I think that's the other game outside of, now I'm obviously living here, alumni of Tennessee, watched all of Tennessee, and, you know, obviously, that's part of our job. But when I talk about Florida State, who also like, I mean, that's one of the biggest games on the schedule every year is Florida State. They're going to take down the Gators. I hate the Gators all around. Tennessee
now they
fan.
Miami, too.
Yeah.
Florida does.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Miami, they will be playing. That's good for. That's going to really kind of create a really. It was already competitive recruiting in that area. And Florida State was dominating for a long time with Jimbo. And then we've seen now. With Dan Mullen back in the mix and Manny Diaz, that's gonna be tough on Willie Taggart. But that's really making it interesting down there in South Florida. It used to be Florida State owning it for and Miami.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Jeez,
interesting.
Especially if Florida loses that game. Good Lord.
Manny will have his boys ready.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know that.
That's a good point. Texas A&M defensive coordinator Mike Elko is now college football's fourth $2 million coordinator, according to Ben Baby. $2 million for the defensive coordinator. At Texas A&M.
$2
million. Yeah, making more than head coaches.
It's good money.
$2 million. Oh, my God. Juwan Howard potentially going to be the Michigan coach. What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. He's served his time now as far as he's not just coming into a situation and just with an NBA name and getting a job. He's been an assistant in the NBA for the last couple of years. I want to say at least for the last 3 years I know of. And he's from that area. Obviously, the lineage to the school, being a part of the Fab Five.
Yeah.
When you're getting down to the candidates that they're getting down to right now, I say why not? You're at least going to sell tickets. It's at least going to ignite something in the fans. They're going to be a little bit more at ease bringing back, you know, the hometown kid, guy who represented, you know, great times for them. Ed Cooley deciding to remain at Providence after being linked to the job. They got to go out and get a big name, I think, and or at least a big name. If not a big name, it has to be somebody that's perceived as on the rise. It has to be somebody like that, somebody that's young, that's on the rise. I don't know if they've went after Chris Beard, but he has a big buyout, but that his big buyout pertains to taking the Texas job. It's not as big if he goes to another school. I'd like to see maybe if they try him. I like Juwan Howard, though. I mean, go after him. Go get him. Let's see how it works. This new trend of NBA coaches taking college jobs. Ewing, Penny. Penny's got the number one recruiting class.
Stackhouse.
Nick Van Exel was trying to get the job at Cincinnati, his alma mater. Why not? I like seeing familiar faces as coaches. Like that, it brings back a little bit of nostalgia for me, and I know it does for other fans too. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind it at all. I'm saying bring back all the damn NBA coaches to coach college. Why the hell not? Why the hell not?
I agree. It's not going to do anything to. I think if you're going to try to put more butts in the seats, I think it would help. Like, that's what Vanderbilt basketball's got to do next year, put more butts in the seats. That's what, you know, Memphis is going to do. That's what Memphis is going to do with the talent they're bringing in now. And what Penny's got to do, he just said his swag is different. That's what they just said. Which is pretty telling of where they are going. Have you seen this new picture of Aria with like sunglasses on and the weird dude?
Aria Stark?
Braun.
Bran?
Yeah, Bran. Braun. Bran, Braun. What the hell is the difference?
Bran. Braun is another character. Bran is the kid in the wheelchair. Is that who you're speaking of?
They should put them in that show Westworld.
Nah.
I'm sorry. It's just kind of how I feel.
Nah.
Yeah. Why not? What the hell's the difference?
I can't see her in Westworld.
No, I'm talking about the character development. Not like the person in general. I'm talking about like the character. Okay. Do you think she'll be a leading role?
No, you're just saying she should get another leading role. Like she should be like in Westworld like that. Yeah. I did think that she will, but I just don't see it like being Westworld, something's already, you know.
You know who had a great comeback?
Who?
Tara from Sons of Anarchy. Then she ends up as the lead chick in Billions.
Billions, yeah.
Yeah.
She was a great actress. The arc on her storyline was stupid. The fact of the way she was killed on Sons of Anarchy was stupid.
No, it wasn't.
It was stupid.
And it was gruesome, but it wasn't dumb.
It was dumb, though. She could have killed her. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Could have killed Gemma.
Yeah, she could have killed her long. Like she could have. She was much stronger. She was much stronger than her mentally, and even physically. She should have killed her. And not to mention when she knew that she was trying to. That Gemma was trying to kill her. She should have already killed her.
How dare you?
It's weak. Weak story arc. Weak storyline. It was weak.
I just don't think that you get it.
I watched that show. It was, you know, must-see TV. Yeah, I watched it. It was weak.
The poll that I put out, thank God, has gotten great reviews. I didn't even put out a poll. I just put out a retweet about Sons of Anarchy at the end. Hey, look, when I watch the full Game of Thrones, I'll be able to give a great opinion. And I'm excited for that. I do look forward to that. And an update to my question on Twitter, which movie do you correlate the song Shout with more? Animal House, 61%. Wedding Crashers, 39%. Just thought I'd let Chance know what's going on with the poll. We have a phone call?
Nope.
Okay, that's good. Well, hell, you answer the phone.
I would have texted you and let you know had a phone call.
No, you should have just put them on the air.
I would have let you know. It's what a producer does.
Just put a telemarketer on the air.
I don't think it was telemarketer. I think it was just somebody whose phone was messed up.
We'll just grill them. Looking at the SEC tournament going on in Hoover right now, Missouri is playing Ole Miss. 0-0, bottom of the first inning. Ed Cooley reportedly pulled out of the Michigan job. Smart by him. If you know you're not going to get out ahead of it and pull yourself out of the job running before they can say, hey, we hired somebody else.
You think he wasn't going to get it or he just wanted to stay at Providence?
I don't think he was going
to
get it.
I think he just wanted to stay at Providence. I think they probably wanted him. They're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
You think so?
They're getting down to the nitty-gritty of candidates.
Yeah, but Juwan Howard was on the list.
Yeah. Just saying, like, they're getting down, though. Like, they're probably, you know, getting to kind of panic time, too. It's time. Make John Beilein just jets. You need to get a coach in there quickly so you can show that, you know, stability still remains. Especially where they are. They don't want to take – they don't want to make the mistake, botch a coaching search, end up like Tennessee and any of the following.
Well, that's another story to be written in a day and time because that, you know. We'll see what Butch ends up doing, you know, at Tennessee and how far that's come. Did you like the whole thing this past weekend, Jeremy Pruitt going out and doing those events with the recruits? Think that was a smart move?
Yeah.
Kind of get away from the whole, hey, come in town, let's watch film type thing.
I know,
he sent the coaches back on the road.
Yeah.
Paintballing at the university.
That's what I'm saying.
If he wanted to, he should have just lined media members up in a row and just let them go to town on him. Take out some anger.
I think it was huge.
He probably got more out of him.
I think it's something that it makes him seem more.
Oh, here we go. Down to earth, maybe?
I was going to say, yeah, maybe accessible or, yeah, just like it makes him seem more. He seems like he's always on edge when you look at him, when he talks. Like it makes him seem more, yeah, like friendly, like
one
laid
of the players
back.
Players had to sign a waiver.
More relaxing. I'm sure they probably did.
Before they played.
They probably
did. If you
did.
Get shot in the eye, you can't
something.
Sue us.
But, yeah, it makes him seem more, a little bit more down to earth, I guess is what you could say.
Hey, coming up on the other side. We're going to get one of the boys from the drive in here.
Are we?
Get the exchange going on.
What if we don't want them?
We have any news of the day?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm excited about that as well. We're continuing to roll on here. Fox Sports Knoxville. Three more days of the it's optional. Then we go our separate ways. We're going to go out. We're going to burn it down on the way out. Not as much as last week, Chance. Don't worry. Or the week before last.
Yeah.
We're good.
It's been a while.
Yeah. The Blitz, right?
The Blitz. May 28th.
I don't know what you're talking
Tuesday.
About. Going to break. It's
awesome.
10 to noon. Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling back in, it's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Top Gun. This is not Top Gun, was it? Yeah, it was.
It is Top Gun. Come on, dude. Come on, dude. Don't disrespect.
Breaking news
out
of Manchester, Tennessee. Bonnaroo officials have confirmed the festival's iconic arch was burned intentionally.
Glad I wasn't going to use that on News of the Day.
Damn it.
Yeah,
and dismantled due to significant structural issues.
Stepping all over News of the Day.
I didn't step all over you with it.
You already used it now.
Its replacement will be revealed in a few short weeks as we welcome everyone back to the farm for the 18th annual festival.
Never been to Bonnaroo, but I've thought about going. I've never been to like a legit music festival where you got to camp. I wanted to go to Hangout this year. That was last week though. A little short notice.
This past weekend.
I said that was last week, though. Yeah. It was my birthday. I had a nice crowd, but no, I've never been to the music fest.
Hangout's fun. Hangout's a good
time. It's on the beach. It's got to be fun, right?
Oh, it's a blast. I love going to Hangout Fest. Just a bunch of crazy hippies down there all hanging out in bathing suits and having a good time. And there's ice skating. Not ice skating. Roller skating.
Russell Smith joins now on one of the final exchanges.
I was going to sneak him in.
You ever been to a music fest, Russ?
Yeah, I've been to Bonnaroo twice.
Ooh.
Did you like it?
How long ago was that?
Yeah. Yet you had more patience for it than.
Yeah, the last time I went, it's been at least 10 years or so, something like that. The last I went, it was Springsteen. Ooh. Was playing.
So you went one of like the first, like what, like first 6 years or something?
No, I mean, that was like 10 years into it. Okay. Like it started out as a very like jam band thing.
Were you working like, it or did you just
yeah,
go? Oh,
yeah,
you were working
like
it.
Radio station tickets. And so it was pretty cool. I got to go up like on the main stage.
Yeah, you
got to
be backstage.
We were on like a, I don't know, like a catwalk on the side of the stage.
Scaffold.
But yeah, maybe like 10 feet up above off to the side. And you could just see like thousands of people out there and like, there's Bruce Springsteen and Little Steven like playing like 20 feet away from me.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, did you spend the night?
That time we had hotel room. So we would go.
You got lucky.
Yeah. It was, it does not look like, well, I'm almost 40 now. So, I mean, maybe like if you're 20 years old, it's like, hey, let's go do some X and sleep in a tent. And it's like 100 degrees and we won't shower for 4 days. Like, if that's your scene, like, Bonnaroo is probably a lot of fun. But if you're like me and you like to bathe every single day and you like to sleep for
two showers a day at least
in a bed and you don't do drugs, then it's probably not going to be your scene.
Nothing wrong with some shrooms.
Grateful Dead,
not according to the residents of Colorado.
Thought you were just going to be like, nothing wrong with some drugs. Every now and again, you went straight for the shrooms.
Went to the shrooms and some Grateful Dead.
Are the shrooms legal in Colorado now?
Yes,
or they are.
Weed? Really?
No, they are.
The shrooms are legal now.
Last week or the week before, Colorado passed another
bill.
Passed
that damn thing easily, too.
For the recreational use of mushrooms.
So when are we going on remote to Denver? Yeah.
It's all you, Trey.
Trey Ball is a big mushrooms guy.
Evidently.
Oh, really not? No.
A lot about Trey.
It's always the first time for everything.
He's into his psychedelics.
No,
evidently.
I'm sitting here wondering, you know, the state of Colorado and Denver, they already approved weed, so then they had to go further into the hat and try to get mushrooms legal. They got that legal. What's next? Coke? I mean, how far are they going to go down the ladder here?
I don't know, man. I would have been really interested in this 20 years ago. Now it's like, whatever. That's cool.
They're making money for their economy. And I ain't going to knock them. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as nobody gets hurt.
Education.
I suppose.
Kids. Money.
It's always good on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What are you talking about?
Mushrooms. I agree. Bonnaroo is one of those things where if you go, maybe you should just go for a day.
I learned a lot about Trey Wallace.
Yeah.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
Putting the shrooms in the. No, man, just put it in a peanut butter mushroom sandwich. It's not that bad, man. You were the guy who was always making the pipe out of the can, out of the Coke can, right?
Yep.
You were totally that guy. You squash it, take the little pin. It's like that old Dennis Leary joke.
You seem to know a lot about this, man.
They say pot leads to other drugs. No, it doesn't. It leads to carpentry is what it leads to. Hey, man, I just made a bong out of an apple. Come on out. You put the weed in here, you take a hit. Come on.
It leads to carpentry. It leads to being an engineer.
Do we have to get another break?
No.
All right, we're good.
This is it.
Yeah, I'm paying
this
attention.
Is how we're ending your show today, Trey.
Weed
hardcore
and mushroom.
Drug talk. Yeah.
No, it'll get passed in the state of Tennessee sometime soon.
What is
you know
it'll go medical weed first
you know,
and then
right.
recreational.
What
right?
surprised me was the NBA players not being able not they don't get drug tested for marijuana.
They don't?
I found that out the other day. That's what got me spurned on this, like, wow, okay. They can toke a Rivera anytime they want to.
I've never thought they should, and it's not because I'm some like, oh, legalize it thing. It's more of the effect, you know, say what you will about smoking dope, but you are certainly not in any way empowered from what I recall.
You get leveled down.
It's not like LeBron, just to name, you know, randomly, I don't know if he smokes, but like it's going to go out there like take a couple of hits and it's like Popeye popping open the spinach can. He's not going to play any better, Stone.
No, he's going to go straight for the nachos.
Yeah, it's not a performance-enhancing drug here.
Interesting. Time for a little news of the day.
Go to the news of the day. Don't get off our hard drug topic.
Pretty fast.
You guys lost me there.
Around once in a while.
No, we didn't. We had you the whole time, bro.
Stepping right up. First up today, news of the day in the show, Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman. Gets a little richer today. Signs a 2-year extension with the Patriots. Organization hopes to keep Edelman a Patriot for the rest of his career alongside Tom Brady. Brady's favorite target. Gets an $8 million signing bonus today and $12 million guaranteed for the Super Bowl MVP.
An $8 million signing bonus?
Yep.
Damn.
12. How old is Edelman now? I'll be honest.
I think he's like 35, Amendola,
Welker.
36.
Are we sure they're not just the same guy?
And yeah.
They just keep changing
names. Add a beard to him.
Yeah, let's find some 5'10" white guy who can run and catch it a little bit.
Chris Hogan.
Change his name or
Ed Cooley decides to remain at Providence after turning down the Michigan Wolverines' job. Ed Cooley gets an extension.
So are they going to go Juwan Howard now?
Seems like he's the top candidate so far. Top candidate so far. Also, in other news, last night.
He pulled out once he knew he wasn't in. Came out. We'll go to the next one.
Yeah, that's what she – whatever. The Warriors complete the sweep last night, taking down the Trailblazers. Once again, making their fifth straight trip to the finals. You tired of the Warriors yet, Russ? It was a fun game to watch, though, last night.
I'll be honest, I did not watch a single minute of that series.
What'd you watch then?
I watched last night Chernobyl.
Oh.
That's my show.
That show got weird.
Sports guy not watching sports. I know, man. It's sad, isn't it?
Happy 47th birthday to the late Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G. Would have been 47 today. You guys a Biggie fan? West Coast or East Coast?
Middle.
What the hell?
Great plays.
Yeah. Great. Good job.
Nebraska in the house. What up? Omaha.
There you go.
Farm workers for life.
2018-2019 NBA All-Rookie Team was released today. Luka Doncic, Trae Young headlined the first team along with DeAndre Ayton. Today is National Strawberries and Cream Day. Also National Waitstaff Day. And also the brand new trailer for Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That was good.
Starring Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's good.
Debuted
man.
At the Cannes Film Festival last night and also today.
Guys, this has been a great show. Thanks to Chris Lee, Mark Moses, The Drive. Coming up next, what are y'all going to talk about?
Tennessee recruiting. There's much gnashing of teeth, wringing of finger. I don't know if I use those words right.
Yeah, something like that.
People are upset, man. The recruiting junkies not going well right now for Jeremy Pruitt.
Ball baseball will have first pitch during your show,
5:30.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Play by play. I look forward to it.
Should be fun.
Guys, everybody stay off the hard drugs. Congratulations.
The Blitz. You live in Denver. May 28th, next Tuesday.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hard drugs. See you tomorrow.